Oh, you're sitting up a lot.
Say good flicks.
Sure.
Would you really want to stay up this high?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Ready?
Get closer to the microphone.
That was a cool face. You should make that face more often.
What was it?
It was like, get closer to the microphone. Something like that.
I was trying to do you.
Did a good job. Get closer to the microphone. That's funny. Yeah, I'm sure that's fine. You ready?
Ready.
Welcome to In the Treehouse with Tuck and Cheryl. I'm Tuck Treehouse.
And I'm Cheryl Treehouse.
Hello, and welcome to our 25th podcast, quarter of a century of podcasting.
Yay!
Well, our podcast is truly asynchronous.
How so?
Asynchronous meaning that it doesn't line up with the real time or the way that people listen to it, because we are about to post four different files that we've recorded like last month, and we have been on complete and total hiatus.
True. It's very true.
Talk about your feelings around the subject, love.
I've missed it.
Really?
I have.
Have you really missed podcasting? Are you just kidding?
I really missed podcasting, and I'm not kidding.
I'm glad you missed podcasting, because I miss podcasting a lot, too.
Yeah, we just have needed to see each other some more. You've started so many new things.
Life intervened.
Yeah.
Life, we had a lot of life things going on. Yeah, stop putting the candela down your clothing.
Okay.
But
you holding it like that is distracting. Makes me feel like you're talking into the microphone.
Okay, I won't wave it around. You want to hang on to it?
Okay.
All right, you can put it in your shirt if you want to. Wow, glad we're doing radio. Okay, so what's been going on? Oh my God, everything's been going on.
You started school?
I started school. I'm doing a three-year program at DeVry University here in Kansas City in network communications management. I'm taking my computer knowledge to the next level.
Hooah!
Hooah! And I got a new car. Got a 2005 Honda Civic.
Got a new computer.
Got a new laptop. Got a new HP 64-bit AMD processor. Nice little smooth laptop that's very quiet.
Got a new haircut.
I got a new haircut. I'm like ready for the military.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it's not that bad. No, but I did. I got a new haircut. And there's just been so many things going on.
Mm-hmm. I went to an iridologist.
You went to an iridologist?
I did.
I know. I wasn't saying that rhetorically. I was just stating that for the fact. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, it was really neat. She took a slide of several different pictures of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to see her, she showed me the slides and put this template over them to show me what a perfectly healthy eye would look like, and then showed me the areas where my eyes were showing that there were certain areas that were out of whack.
Did you feel like she was accurate?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I just feel like she's a student of this stuff and has been studying it for 30 years. I actually thought she was amazing. I actually thought you should go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think she does insurance, but I think
it'd be worth it to go.
Yeah. That's cool. Really something. I want to show you my report.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've been getting enough minerals lately. I've just been eating like cereal and breads and cheeses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been doing any vitamins or anything.
She said that my blood was way too acidic. I needed to move it to more of an alkaline.
Mm.
So I was looking at foods that help provide that.
I have some of that pH balancer stuff.
Do you?
Yeah. Nice. You just take like two or three a day and it balances out your body pH.
Neat.
Yeah. I got a bunch of extra too.
That would be probably way easier than I went and bought all these different foods.
Yeah. Well, it's got a concern. If you're too acidic, it'll make you more base. And if you're too base, it'll make you a little more acidic.
Neat.
Yeah. I've got that bottle in my backpack. Remind me to give it to you.
Okay. That's neat.
Cool. I've also got some pH papers where you can do like saliva and stuff.
Oh, so we can test how acidic we are?
Yeah.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
It has a little chart on the back that shows you like blue for very acidic and up to green or yellow for very acid. I can't remember which side's which.
And I'm about ready to make a 180 degree switch on my view of fragrance.
Yeah, for the longest time, like, I mean, I used to still be into like essential oils and stuff, but you were not. You have like any kind of odor at all, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, you know why though.
Why?
because one of my first jobs out of college was working at Avon at the distribution center in the shipping department.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It was this mega warehouse that was 7 stories high.
Wow.
You know, 7 packers, you know, like pallets. Yeah. It was like a 7-story high-rise warehouse. And it was filled with Avon products. And Avon is full of fragrance. So you would walk in to this wall of fragrance competing with each other. I mean, I would walk in and just start sneezing. It was so intense.
Yeah, it's done a number on you.
And then it would just like seep into your skin and, no offense, but...
I'm really glad you're coming back to the land of scents.
Well, you know, we'll see.
You know, because if you smell an essential oil, in 6 seconds, the molecules are in every tissue in your body. So they're really neuroactive. Like, anytime you smell something, I mean, it crosses the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
I mean, it goes into your tissues. It's really amazing.
Well, and this kind is medical grade, therapeutic grade, so it's more expensive, but really good.
I was reading
all about it.
I used to sell them.
No way.
Yeah, I was...
You're kidding.
No, I didn't tell you that.
No.
I was a young living oil distributor.
For
$60, you can be due. You can become.
I know. I am. I paid my
due, and you are a distributor now,
uh-huh.
So you get the discount.
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. No, the raindrop therapy kit that you're doing as the basic one is really intense. It's like bergamot, oregano,
right?
Marjoram. I mean, they are some strong like odors. I mean, they're
hoorah.
Yeah, they're like. Really, 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 don't spare anything intense.
Well, she was just saying I had all these, like, issues with my spine. And she said, these will kill the viruses. I thought, wow, who knew? I didn't know I had viruses in my spine.
I sort of threw out this box of information when I was doing some cleaning about 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, it's back.
It is, it's back.
It's reincarnated.
All the viruses and parasites in your spine.
Oh, my.
This went out around the time the zapper kind of electrical pulses through the body to kill the bugs went out. We're going to receive email now.
Oh, well.
That's okay. There are people listening to the podcast, which, of course, is always a shock to us. Because, well, I guess we should expect to have listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We've had quite a few people write and actually been like, hey, where's the podcast, man?
Yeah, did you write back and say sorry?
No.
Oh.
I was spending all my time and effort getting to this podcast. I swear. Now that I've got a lot of stuff going on, these podcasts are going to become a practice in minimalism.
Right, right. I understand. Not the picture on the front of the mission.
I can't stand not doing that. I got to do the picture.
Do you?
Yeah, and I got to do a few words.
Okay.
But in any way I can, I'm going to try to cut corners. Not reducing quality, just speeding the product to market time.
Well, let's just not say anything that we need to edit out.
You mean be interesting and...
witty and charming and...
I'm up to the task, are you?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Let's shake.
Well, and we need some co-motivation for these podcasts.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes. In other words, I need to exhibit some excitement and passion around the subject.
That's right. Yes, you understand the concept very well.
I'm sitting up taller than you, and my eyes are bright.
You know, this is the brightest you've ever been when we've been podcasting.
I've missed it, and I'm trying to prove to you. Plus, I was so grouchy and recalcitrant the last couple of ones, so I want to, like, prove my mettle.
I think just me putting the one on the air where you were grouchy was just like some kind of public humiliation for
it
you.
Was.
And now you're like trying to earn back your credits in everybody's hand.
I am.
Well, that's all I had to do was publish one. I should have thrown those early ones away. Because we did like 3 or 4 before we ever got on the air.
True.
Those were pretty moody.
Yeah, who was it that was hoping to hit the 20th podcast and now wanted to...
Right, Douglas Bass. He was wanting us to post those early ones.
He doesn't need to. He can just listen to the last ones.
Exactly.
Ugh. Attila the Cheryl.
You know what I call that one?
What?
Where you were, like, it was the most distant podcast we ever did, and we were talking about ways to get a first date.
Right.
You know what I called it?
What?
Soulmates Are Us.
Oh, no!
Isn't that funny?
It's painful.
Isn't it? Because it's like soulmates are us,
right.
You know. And, you know, we're trying to help other people get hooked up with their non-axe murdering
right,
partners.
Non-toupee wearing.
You know, if I put those podcasts just in a file. I ain't listened to them for a long time. I don't know if it's okay to toot your own horn on your own podcast, but I thought they were pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I was just listening to it. Didn't even listen to the whole thing. Just kind of went through editing. And I was like, my God, we're fascinating.
I think it's okay to toot your own horn.
There's a book that was written. It's called How to Toot Your Own Horn Without Blowing It.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I keep running into it. It's a book on CD that I keep running into, and it's also, I see it on the shelves everywhere. I bet it's mindless drivel.
I don't know. You know, I read this article that this woman is earning six figures teaching women how to boast.
That's probably the same person.
Very comparable.
That's got to be the same person.
She's a Harvard graduate. The whole point is that women are taught to be self-effacing and demure and not to toot their own horn. But when, especially when you're networking or in the interviewing process or trying to further your career, you have to be able to find a way to humbly talk about your accomplishments in ways that you're not uncomfortable with.
I should get this book on tape for you. Or check it out next time I see it.
Because I literally even have people practice their 30-second commercial or their 2-minute.
So if you had to do a 30-second commercial, what would yours be?
Oh, gosh. Let's see.
You can just make it up if you
want. Could
I? Yeah.
I'm looking for companies who truly believe that their people are their most important asset. I'm looking for CEOs who stay up late at night, worried sick about the employees that they have to let go of, because they aren't sure that their employees are going to bounce back and find a job. I'm looking for people who run companies who want to take good care of those people that they have to let go.
You sound like a saint. Do you remember the time when we were working at Silent Unity when I said, hey, I could be the Unity's movement's first saint because we don't have any saints yet? Do you remember what you told me?
No.
You go, I was pretty happy. I was thinking, God, this whole saint job, it hasn't really been taken in Unity. And I could just hang in here being like really nice to people. I could probably get a saintship here, you know?
A saintship.
Yeah, I said, and I told you that, and you go, well, geez, if you can be a saint, then I can definitely be one. If you're a saint, then I'm like freaking, like, I don't know what.
You're kidding. I said that?
That's what you said.
That's so snotty.
Well, you, it was really shocking when you said it, because I was like, because I was really kind of actually into being a saint, and then you just made it sound like it was nothing. You were like, you're so retarded. I can be a saint if you can be a saint.
I'm such a snot. God.
It was, well, I just think that. I think a lot of people are, really afraid about their jobs and about their future and all that. I think you do a lot of good for people.
Thanks.
When you help them understand that stuff.
My first impression of you when I first met you was that you were an angel. Mm-hmm. I thought you looked like one. Close. Angels, saints.
I was in a pretty high space when you met me.
I'll say.
I was, yeah. You grounded me out real quick, man. Put me to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're approaching our 5 years.
I know. I had a dream last night. I was thinking that, our relationship has been just like a real commitment to grow, like a lot. And like, especially with the spiritual path we're on now, you know, I really think that this is like just the sort of the final phase of deepening of our relationship. Not that our relationship's over, but just like, you know, if you look back at our relationship at all the qualities of like, you know, growth and honesty and integrity and all these things that we kind of challenge each other with, then, you know, this last phase has really been kind of an acceleration of that. Mm-hmm. I was just really thinking about that, you know, our relationship, we've really come together very intentionally, you know, in love and, but also just to, you know, really become kind of who we are.
Right. I agree. I think we were kind of black and white images of who we were to become before we met each other. And now layer after layer of color has been added. I feel like we get more and more vibrant with color all the time.
Yeah.
And there's less and less hiccup or hassle.
Yeah.
It's really neat to have history with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we're kind of backwards. Most people start out, I think, kind of more like the in illusion honeymoon state. And then, you know, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, they sort of go, oh, my gosh, who are you?
Right.
You're not the person I thought that I married.
Right.
Well, you and I, oh, my gosh, like 3 or 4 days into the relationship, our souls were saying, yay, yahoo, let's get to work.
Absolutely.
And I think we hit, our relationship was front end loaded.
Front end loaded.
What I mean by that is like all the really difficult stuff was in the first couple of years.
Yeah, totally.
And now it just seems like it's just, gets sweeter and more loving and deeper and more resonant all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the idea of keeping us on our toes and challenging and stuff, that really kind of talks about and explains our age difference as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really kind of a heightened ingredient in the beginning. I mean, it kept me very aware of you a lot. I mean, in terms of, we didn't just do this comfortable melt into each other kind of thing.
Mm-mm.
It was like a bonding, but it was like a really intense bonding. In the sense of stuff coming up and having to work through it. And
right.
I think it's great that we actually got to somewhere, though. We didn't just keep working and keep working and keep working until we just drove each other crazy.
I know, me too.
I think we're getting ready to break through to some new level with that whole thing.
So do I.
Yeah. So, we just made plans to go on our second honeymoon.
Yay!
On September till October, we're going to St. Martin, the tropical island of French St. Martin, or Dutch.
Dutch.
Yeah, I like the Dutch side better anyway.
Do you?
Well, the Dutch have neater dresses. I think they've got lederhosen in there somewhere. And
wooden shoes and tulips.
They have better copyright law in Sweden and stuff.
Sweden isn't Dutch.
Is there Dutchland?
There's Deutschland, but that's Germany.
Where do the Dutch come from?
I don't know.
I think it's Sweden.
Amsterdam.
Sweden is... Amsterdam is a city in Sweden.
No, honey. Amsterdam. Where's Hudson where we need it? It's a country. Amsterdam's a country.
Amsterdam's a country?
Isn't it?
No. Amsterdam is a city in either the Netherlands or Sweden, and I thought it was Sweden.
Okay, Netherlands. It's not Sweden.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How about Stockholm?
Sweden.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Where do they raise more fish? Netherlands. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Which has the fjords?
Fjord. I don't know.
Iceland. I don't know.
I've been to Iceland. I don't remember fjords. Norway maybe has fjords.
You know what fjords are?
Fjord.
You know what fjords are?
Fjord.
You've probably even seen fjords.
Fjord. What is it, like a glacier? Fjord. What's a fjord?
Don't make me hit you. That's really annoying.
I know, it's really fun to say.
You sound like Eeyore on a bad day.
What is a fjord?
You've probably seen them, you European traveler, you. I bet you've even seen them.
Well, tell me what it is, and I'll tell you if I've seen it.
They're dramatic valleys carved out of the ground by the water by glaciers. And so they are very steep-walled, very deep, and they go into land masses, and water comes in. And so they're great for fishing and stuff, and they're really, really super deep.
I've never seen a fjord. And super cold.
Yeah, it's Norway, Finland, something. We need a map. But, like, along that coastline, there are all kinds of fjords. And in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy...
The new one's coming out, right?
Yeah, that's the movie.
Because the old one was dorky.
The one, the 1984 BBC one?
Painful.
Yeah, that one was stupid.
Yeah, way.
I listened to all the books on tape when I was in, like, the... I was, like, a sophomore in high school, or junior, freshman in high school. I read one of them. First one. Okay, so there's this guy, and I forget his name, Slotty Botfast? I think that's his name. Anyway, they have this giant planet called Magna X or something. I forget what it's called. And it's where these people who design planets live. And they take like a black hole and they like pull matter out of it, but they have a computer around it or something, so they can pull matter out and like form it into stuff. So they make custom planets for the jet-setting elite of the universe. And, somebody, I forget who it was, Slotty Botfast? I think it's Slotty Botfast. He actually designed the fjords in Norway or whatever, and he put his signature on one of the land masses. So when the Earth, which was pulled out of the Earth was created to be a giant computational machine. Guess who funded it?
Who?
Mice.
Hmm.
Mice paid for the Earth.
How about that?
And then they oversaw the experiment, and the easiest way to do that was to pretend that they were being experimented upon by the humans.
Ah. Uh-huh. Smart. Crafty.
Smart mice.
Truly.
Smart mice.
Is that why they had the mouse named after them?
They had the mouse named after them?
Yeah, like the little thing you use on your computer. The mouse.
That's pretty funny.
Thanks.
I thought you meant like the little white things that run out and eat cheese. They like got themselves named mice, and I was like, that's genius. It's like, that's totally genius. I was like, imagine that they call themselves mice, so they get the humans to name them mice. I was like, that's totally awesome. It's like, they're really damn smart, those little mice. Funny.
Very.
So we have to see that when it comes out.
That'd be fun.
It's going to be good.
I kind of like not going to the movies because then when you go to the video store, wow.
There's a lot more to see.
Yeah, lots to see.
We need a better system for recording what we want to check out at the video store.
Mm-hmm.
Like keeping lists of it so we don't have to go in and sort.
I have three over here by the bed.
Lists?
No, three movies that we said we wanted to see.
Written down on a list.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Because the movies we watched tonight were awful.
They were. Ooh.
Let's not even mention their names.
Let's not.
We almost didn't make it through the second one.
Did we make it through?
Yes, we did, because there was a secret at the end. We had to hear the secret.
Right, the last 9 minutes.
Almost made it worth it.
Almost.
God.
Ugh, interminable.
It's kind of cruel for us not to mention the names of these movies.
I know, but let's not.
Yeah, let's not. Let's just not.
Okay, let's just not.
Yeah. Fair warning, there's bad movies out there.
Yeah, so watchers beware.
So did I tell you Dan Klaus was calling Blockbuster Schlock Hustler?
No.
And this one podcast, like way back when, he's like, oh, my wife and I went to Blockbuster, Schlock Hustler. It was so funny. I was like, you're so right. They do hustle a lot of schlock through Blockbuster.
I'll say.
We've rented most of it.
We have. We're even like gold reward card members.
Yeah.
How many movies did we have to see in 1 year to become designated as a gold card?
I think it was something like 360. If we rented like more than 160, 360, it was some massive multiple of 60. If you rented that many movies in a 1 year period, they take your regular card and they bump you up to gold. And they don't tell you. They just send it to you in the mail and say, welcome, gold members. But all the benefits of that are like basically moot now that they don't have late fees and they don't have... they got the whole movie rental card thing.
Right. Well, the only value is that from Monday through, Thursday, if you get a new release, you get a new favorite?
Yeah, there was on the old card, it used to be Monday through Thursday. If you went in Monday through Thursday, rented a regular movie, like new release or two-day rental or whatever, you got a regular favorite. But with the gold card, it was something like Monday through Friday, and Sunday through Friday or something. Right. So like there was only, if you can't win it on Saturday, you couldn't do it. And man, we were spending a lot of money. We were spending like $30 a week on movies.
Yeah.
We go rent like 5-6 movies.
Yeah. And then you'd have to pay for them if they were real dogs. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah. But we would rent like 3 or 4 2 days, and then we would get 3 or 4 favorites on that
system. Can we mention one movie I really loved?
Yeah.
What was the one that you put on your computer that was just stunning?
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Oh, Rivers and Tides.
Yes.
Rivers and Tides, it's the artwork of Andy Goldsworthy.
That was just gorgeous.
Yeah, Andy Goldsworthy is an amazing artist. I mean, his visual art is just really amazing. And but to see it on video, to see it like with the movement of the water and the stuff, he takes like natural materials, twigs, sticks,
leaves,
rocks, and arranges them into natural forms.
Sheep's wool.
Yeah, so he like... So, like, for one of them, he would, like, stack up rocks and make these giant, like, he had a name for them. They look like eggs.
Pine cones, yeah.
Yeah, they had a name for them, like, not obelisk, but some type, there was an official name for it or mm-hmm. whatever, some formal name. But, like, some of the most amazing things he did, like, one of the most striking ones from that movie was he took green leaves and put pins through them and made them into a giant, like, long chain. And then he released them in the water. And then, so the chain of these deep, deep green leaves would move with the tide and like twirl through these like little eddy currents in the water. I mean, in a way he was like, I mean, if art reflects nature, the beauty in nature, then this was just like so on the edge because it was like, you know, actually just showing the way that the water was naturally flowing on itself and the natural currents and like the repetitive forms in nature. I mean, it is just, Really, really beautiful stuff.
It was beautiful. It was like poetry. Talk about heightening your senses. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, you made it for... I think I took a nap during that movie.
Did you?
I fell asleep.
Really? Anna and I loved it.
Yeah, it was cool. Then we went and saw the movie Millions.
Yeah.
Which looked great because it had all these saints and...
Right, looked like it was going to be great.
This kid could, like, talk to saints. Like, saints would visit him and, like, tell him how to be a better person. And then it turned out to be, like, really kind of...
Yeah.
Aggressive and weird.
They didn't need the gratuitous relationship or the...
Violence.
The robber.
Well, they just overdid that part. It made it, like, real dangerous.
Yeah, and scary.
Yeah, suspenseful for too long.
And scary for kids who saw it.
Yeah.
I thought that was unnecessary.
Yeah. But they were talking in that movie about the euro converting, converting the pound over to the euro. Is that real?
Oh, yeah.
The pound's already converted over to the euro?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last Christmas?
I don't know how long it's been, but Ireland, the UK, everybody's on the euro.
I thought that the Brits were holding out. I thought that they were keeping their pound.
Really?
Because their housing markets were going to, like, really falter because of it or something.
You know, you might know more than I don't know.
Well, we could look it up on there. We could go to, like, the exchange and get the exchange rate for the pound. If it doesn't exist, then we know they're not trading it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that... I mean, this was 2 years ago or so. So I was thinking, did that movie come out early here and it's a Christmas movie? Or are we late in the Christmas season or early in the Christmas season?
Don't know.
Because I thought that they were holding out. So the movie was, like, a little bit, like, propaganda to get people interested in converting over to the euro.
Well, that was the whole, kind of the whole theme of the movie.
Yeah.
That creepy guy. That creepy guy with the young woman with boobs. The commercial.
Yeah, that was just like lechery, like on display.
But do you know what it totally reminded me of?
What?
What was that movie that we saw the free screening of?
Oh, God, exactly. And they were totally ripping that straight out of there.
Totally there.
Oh, God, you're going to be...
Wait, oops.
All About Love. Love Actually.
Good job. Wow.
Love Actually.
You pulled that one out of the ethers.
Yeah. We went to this early screening of Love Actually. It was like June, and it was like a Christmas movie, and we saw it early.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rough. They didn't have sound in a lot of the places, and it was like, you know, a lot of the characters were really... They just threw and had like too many scenes, and... Like, the plot wasn't really linear at that point. It was kind of like, well, there's this branch, and then there's this branch, and this branch. You have to, like, vote on which one you liked better or whatever. But, yeah, there was a lot of buxom model, bronze-skinned models in Santa Claus outfits.
Right.
In both movies.
Right. With yes. Old, lecherous, kind of drunken...
receding hairline, balding guys.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe they're into that in England.
Maybe so. I don't know, but it just was...
It was weird to see the theme repeated twice.
I know, not an archetype I really liked the first time around, and then to have to see it the second time.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
Hmm. 25 podcasts.
25 podcasts.
Isn't it nice that we're not piecing together old podcasts for the 25th podcast?
To do like a retrospective show?
Right.
We could imagine we're doing a retrospective show.
Really?
Yeah. So, Squeets.
Yes.
We're going to do this thing called podcasting. This is our first podcast. Are you ready?
What's a podcast?
A podcast is where we talk about our thoughts, but it's going to be really amazing because, like, we're going to just talk like normal and not script what we say, so people are going to hang on our every word and think it's just fascinating.
Wow.
We're going to make lots of money and, like, travel the world.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Hooray! I can hardly wait.
You know, thinking about... Why don't we... So I'm taking this economics class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about it. And podcasting is, like, a really amazing little microeconomic system. Because you have a very discrete and measurable number of players. Right now, there's 5,500 podcasts or whatever. When we started, there was like 2,000 or something, and like we were like, you know, 2,000 or like 154 on Podcast Alley or something, 1,500, blah blah blah. But in any event, it's amazing to see how the different podcasts have like segmented themselves. You know, like different approaches and different economies. There are all these podcasts. They're like all interested in trying to get sponsors and stuff. We got a sponsor offership.
We did.
Somebody offered. It was completely bogus, but somebody offered to be our sponsor for our show.
Well, what do you mean it was completely bogus? They were just pretending?
Well, somebody wrote a book about relationships or something like that. And this woman's PR agency said, I have just listened to your podcast and I think it's a freaking relationship fantastic. I think that you would both benefit from the Sully Summers new book, How to Treat Her Right, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like,
no.
Totally.
Trying to get us to buy it or something?
Well, not to buy it, but to get involved in some multi-level marketing scheme. We would actually not sell the book ourselves, but we would have a link on our website and recommend that people do it. And if we recommended it on the site, we would have the honor of being some of the limited associate sites that were able to have this link.
Ooh.
We were going to have that honor.
Ooh.
Of linking like any book on Amazon.com you can do for free.
I see.
And you can just earn probably the same percentage through Amazon for nothing. But maybe they'd never heard of that.
Maybe not.
So what I was going to do, I was going to act on it right away to feign interest. But I forgot. I forgot the email. I never answer my emails. I was going to write back and say, you know, why don't you just send us a copy of that book and I'll check it out. Better yet, why don't you send us a book on tape or a download link? Because I'm a really busy guy and I like to listen to stuff in my car. Because of all this high power economies of scale work I'm doing, I'm just shifting my portfolio around every day and it's a real mind drainer.
Wow. You portfolio shifter, you.
Yeah, baby.
That is so funny.
Isn't that hilarious?
That is a hoot. Huh. I did greatly enjoy the reading of the book. Sorry, I wasn't so interesting in my response, but it was funny to hear about how do you know if you're dating an axe murderer.
Oh, you're talking about that other one.
The dating thing, yeah.
You were interested?
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Listening to it was hilarious.
You were very funny. I did not uphold my side of the...
You didn't.
I didn't at all.
You know, you know what's hilarious? When I was editing that one?
What?
Okay, so that show was like 23 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how long the recording was?
How long?
Like 55. Because I clicked on the recorder and then we sat here for 30 minutes bickering about whether or not we were going to do a podcast. So it was like all recorded at this really low volume. And,
right.
And we were going through some intimacy thing at that point where it was kind of like where you were like feeling like threatened by the podcast or something.
Oh, dear.
I think you were like, you're just using my conversation for podcasting. A little.
Okay.
You were like, I don't want to talk to the world. I just want to talk to you.
It's true. I was missing you, I think.
Hmm. Well, you're an awesome sport.
Thanks.
But you promise you like podcasting anyway.
I do. I actually do. I watched Mulan 2 yesterday. That was fun.
Talk about that.
Well, it's just neat. You saw Mulan 1.
I saw parts of it. Yeah, no, I did see it. Right, with all the little...
Like, she saves all of China.
Wow.
I know. It was very impressive. So, Mulan 2... starts out and she's like pretty chummy with a guy. I can't remember his name, but Prince Chang or something.
Uh-huh.
And they have this special mission where they have to escort the three princesses to this different kingdom because there are arranged marriages for all three of them.
Whoa.
And they are secretly very sad about this because they would like to be just like Fa Mulong, where they can marry for love and follow their hearts.
Oh.
And so the three brave warriors that accompany them, romances ensue.
Oh my gosh. So how do they get out of their marriages?
Well, I don't want to ruin the story. Is it okay if I share?
You can ruin the story.
Okay.
It's a cartoon.
So they get to the end and the guy who is Eddie Murphy, the dragon. Yeah. climbs inside the golden dragon and pretends that he's the ancestor of the golden dragon. And he's spitting down fire and he says, I don't want, you know, I release you from your contract to marry. You can marry for love whoever you want to.
That's great.
And they all believe that it's real. And then Fa Mulong and Prince What's-His-Face get to get married right there.
Oh, that's great.
And they use the Tao, the symbol of the Tao, the yin-yang.
Mm-hmm.
She has a necklace with the white part, and he has a necklace with a black part.
No.
So they use the Tao all the way through for the imaging, which is way cool. It was fun.
That's awesome.
It was very fun.
So it was Disney. Did they pull it off?
They did.
Cool.
I liked it.
It's good to see them get one right.
Yeah. Nice. It was nice. It was nice that she wasn't blonde and Barbie doll looking.
I was working at the vitamin store, the online vitamin retailer, and Kay's daughter was all into Mulan.
Yeah.
Because she was Chinese.
Yeah.
She loved Mulan.
I love it.
That and Dora. Dora the Explorer. Dora the Explorer. She's got, I think she's Mexican-American.
Ah,
or she's okay. She's got some ethnicity in there. She's always talking in Spanish. Like half Spanish, half English.
Neat.
She's always teaching other words and stuff like that. It's cool.
Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer. That's the only kids cartoon I know how to tune on.
Yeah.
Tune into. Well, I feel like I've got 10 more things I want to say, but I feel like our energy's waning.
I'm feeling a little bit like we're fading, but it's been great fun.
Yes, it sure has.
Should we say bonsoir for now?
Sure, we couldn't force ourselves just to keep going for a little bit longer.
Okay, do you have a topic?
A topic?
Skydiving.
Oh, that's old.
Okay.
Don't make something up. We could just discover something.
Okay.
So, what do you think's going to happen in the next month for us? Yeah, because today is May 1st. So, May, June. Because these months, because a month
is... I didn't see any flowers on our front door for May Day today.
That's right.
Nobody rang the doorbell and ran with a May Day basket. Not a single person.
We didn't leave any May Day flowers either.
You're right.
Maybe we do day after May Day flowers.
Day after May Day.
Did you ever do May Day flowers as a kid?
I did. I loved it. It was one of my favorite things, to make baskets.
Me too.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think my teachers were always looking for excuses to get us to do crafts, and so we always did baskets and stuff.
Yeah, I would do it out of my home. The fun part was to ring the doorbell and then just split out of there as fast as you could.
This one time when I was 19, I found all these Heineken bottles, and they're like green in the trash bin. And I cleaned them all out and, you know, rinsed off the labels. And I got a whole bunch of, like, I think they were just dandelions or something, like yellow flowers by the side of the road. And I'd fill up the Heineken bottles with water, and I decorated them with permanent markers. And I was living in this housing complex, and I went around everybody's door and I put one on their doors.
That's neat.
Yeah, it was like 20 of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Totally.
Like Sharpies, permanent markers?
Yeah, Sharpies, permanent markers. Uh-huh.
That's very cool.
I had this whole, like, I was doing all this art for a long time, where I would go find trash and, like, write things on it and leave it in places and then photograph it.
Hmm.
I have probably 50, 60 photographs of stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, like, if I found, like, an old, like, vacuum cleaner, and I'd write stuff on it, like poetry or whatever, and then I would go, like, leave it in the middle of a parking lot.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool, actually.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
One of my favorite gifts that you gave me was a Pokemon, and you decorated it.
That was a prayer satellite. There were two identical Pikachu clocks, completely decorated with permanent marker, in purple and green.
Teal, yeah, my two favorite colors.
And the clocks inside of them were exactly synchronized to beep once every hour. So you were going, where were you going? You were going on a trip.
California, I think, or something.
It was early in our courtship, and I remember sitting in the parking lot of the Walmart where I got them, the Pikachus, and I remember decorating them with the windows closed in my car, and when I got out of the car, I was, like, so high, because, like, it was all sealed in there.
Right.
I remember how I wrote, like, put all that, like, you know, love and peace and all that, put all the designs all over my car. I did them on that same night.
Yeah.
I did that same.
Yeah, it was the same design.
Yeah, same designs on the Pikachus. So, like, you were supposed to keep it with you, and every hour it would beep. And when it would beep, you were supposed to think of me.
That's right.
And I'd think of you.
That was awesome.
You didn't end up going on that trip.
Really?
I remember making you those Pikachus.
And then I did not go.
And then you didn't go. What was up with that?
I don't remember, but you also made me the Tuck Love Cheryl. The little red hearts that have been on my keychain ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, those were...
Those presents came together.
Yeah. Yep. Those little suckers are expensive.
Pikachus?
No, the Pikachus were pennies.
Oh, the little hearts?
Little dog. Those are dog tags. You just go to the dog tag machine and you can type in what you want.
I love them. I have both.
Yeah, I got new ones when we changed our last name.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, that was great.
That was great.
All right. I love you.
I love you so much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.